Friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Jesus said this to his disciples at the Last Supper in that upper room. And up to now, they hadn't had to ask anything in the name of Jesus. Jesus had been right there with them all along. So they just asked him. But things were about to change, weren't they? In a few hours, he would leave them to go to the cross. After his resurrection, he would leave them to ascend into heaven. In a little while, they would see him no more. But two things to take note of what Jesus did for his disciples at the Last Supper. Two gifts that he gives them. And these two gifts he gives to you and to me. For one, he gives them the gift of Holy Communion. In that sacrament, he gave them his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. And although they would not be able to see his face, he would still be with them to the end of the age by his word and his sacraments. And so too for you, our Lord promised means of delivering his grace or how Jesus is present with his people even today. This is how he gives you forgiveness, life, and salvation. And here in our text today, Jesus reinforces another gift, the gift of prayer. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask in the Father, my name, he will give it to you. Until he returns in glory, this is how you and I speak to our Lord. And notice in Jesus' discussion on prayer how many promises are wrapped up in this gift. And what he promises to his disciples, he no less gives to you and to me. When Jesus begins talking with his disciples about prayer, he starts off by giving them words of assurance. Truly, truly, I say to you. This is a double amen. What he is about to say is most certain. These are words that you can count on. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Here you have Jesus' promise to you that whatever you pray, he will hear you. He doesn't pick and choose which prayers to listen to, nor does he send most of what you ask of him in the junk prayer file. He hears and listens to each one and promises to answer every prayer that is prayed in Jesus' name. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. That's an astonishing promise. It's hard to believe, but it's what Jesus promised. Most assuredly, he promises it. The Father will give you whatever you ask for in Jesus' name. It's not like Jesus gives you three wishes. There's no limits. You can't bother the Father in heaven with prayer enough. And why is this? Our Lord says in our gospel lesson, it's because the Father loves you, just as God the Son loves you. And he delights to hear and to answer every prayer that is prayed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, that's the key phrase we keep coming back to. This is what the promise and the gift of prayer rely on. We pray in Jesus' name, not in our name. We go before the Lord in prayer by saying, Father, we're terrible sinners, and we're not worthy of your grace or your mercy for help. Therefore, we do not ask you to help us because we're deserving. No. We ask you to hear us and to help us because Jesus has died for our sins and has risen again for our salvation. Do not help us because of our goodness. Help us for Jesus' sake. Help us because your Son has shed his blood to make us your children. That is what it means to pray in Christ's name. And as long as you pray in Jesus' name, you can be absolutely sure that the Father will give you whatever you ask. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. That's a promise our Lord makes. But we ask, and it seems that we don't always receive, do we? And our joy is not yet quite full. After all, our loved ones get sick and die. Our bodies fail. Our friends and those we love betray us. We do not have the complete joy in Christ, because at the same time with joy that we do have comes sadness. Just as our faith stands alongside our doubt or our good works next to our sins. And let's face it, you and I are tortured with temptations. We are riddled through and through with sin. We are haunted by guilt, by shame, regret, uncertainty. We ask, but it seems we rarely and only partially receive. In prayer, like no other place, we come up hard against that part of God's will that is unknown to us. It's hidden. We know what God has willed, what He's willed to happen, because He's made that known, that Jesus would be an atonement for us, a covering of our sins, that God loves us and He's declared us righteous, that His mercy endures forever, and that we are the forgiven saints of God. We know that we're baptized. And because of these unshakable truths, we also know what will happen. We will be brought to heaven, and our sorrows will end finally, and we will be whole and completely free. But we don't quite know what's happening now, do we? We live a similar aloneness and sorrow that our Lord confessed in His prayer at Gethsemane. Our prayer is for God's kingdom to come, for all of His promises to be fulfilled, just as when we pray the Lord's Prayer. But we also pray for daily needs and wants for ourselves and for others as well. But all our prayers on this side of glory are the prayers of Gethsemane. They're always qualified with Jesus' words. Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but yours be done. And that is the will that we do not know. We know that God has intervened on our behalf and that His will was done at Calvary's cross for you. That these sorrows will not last, that death itself will finally be overcome. But we do not know God's will for us right now. Will we live or will we die? Today, will today be filled with happiness and joy and laughter or tears of sorrow? Will we survive the present demands put on us that seem to be too great to bear? We don't know when our beloved will tell us that he's or she has been unfaithful to us and no longer loves us, or what that biopsy will reveal, or who will run a red light and smash into us. We do not know the conspiracies of hell that the Lord will allow to come partly to fruition. what false accusations or gossip we might face, how we might be sifted like wheat or purified by fire. Or even at the end of the month, we can get all of our bills paid. We don't know the answer to those questions. Our Lord is gracious and merciful, and He will spare us, to be sure, and care for us. Our Lord has provided for us here. Look around. Think about it. We have food in our cupboards and a bed to lay down in tonight, clothes to keep us decent and warm. We also have a great deal of joy in this life with family and friends, and we even have some nice stuff to enjoy along the way. But we don't know what will be given or taken away or when, do we? We also know that we will have tribulation, sorrow, and pain. We just don't know the exact character or extent of it, do we? This reality coincides with another promise our Lord makes to us. In this world, you will have tribulation. But my friends, do not lose heart. Our Lord invites us to pray, and to pray for what we want and for what we need. You do not need to worry about forming the perfect prayer request, for even before you ask, your Father knows what you need. Are you not approaching a God who loves you? That's who you're coming before, not a God who's angry with you, but a Heavenly Father who welcomes your petitions and praise and thanksgiving for Christ's sake. For in Christ, God is our Father, and He Himself loves you. He is your Heavenly Father who will always care for you. Here is the comfort for those who are lost, for a hurting world. Jesus is the message that the world and you and I so desperately need. We need this truth boldly proclaimed to us. We and our neighbors need the promise of a real God who does not randomly hear some and ignore others, but who welcomes petitions from His children through His Son, who listens and acts out of gracious love in and through and for the sake of Jesus. So, we ask for everything without shame, like children asking their fathers, trusting that our Heavenly Father will only give us what is good, and that is what He really wants for us, our best. So we're not ashamed to ask for the big things, for the end of hunger and poverty and war, a cure for cancer or for Parkinson's disease and all the other vicious maladies. We know that this will be answered in heaven, but Jesus also, while He was on earth, fed the hungry, raised up the widow's son in Nain while He walked this earth, so perhaps He will turn and give us a foretaste of heaven even now. So we're not ashamed to ask for the big things nor for the small things, for a good job, a future spouse, current direction for our lives, to do well on our final exams, or that the Steelers will go to the Super Bowl. Think about it. This is the radical nature of prayer that Jesus invites us to partake in. Yes, the day will come when we ask for nothing, but that is not today. Today, we ask for everything. And everything we ask in Jesus' name, we ask knowing it's according to His will. So we're bold to pray, and we do so not in fear, but in the safety of God's gracious and tender love for His children. We trust that the day will come when it is all given and our wills and His will be one. We ask for everything because nothing properly belongs to us. When we come to our Heavenly Father, we come empty-handed as beggars. But we're God's beggars who are declared righteous and are pleasing to Him, and He has pledged all things to us. So He beckons you and I to ask, and He promises you will receive. In this world, there will be tribulation. But take heart, my friends, Jesus has overcome the world. He's obtained your salvation, and He knows what's best. We focus our attention not on what is unknown, but what God has promised. We cannot know God's hidden will, so we exercise the freedom and the gifts that He's given to us. So we pray, and we choose those things that are before us, what we will eat for breakfast, what we can spend our money on that is affordable, that doing the things that seems best to us in our present circumstances, whether it's best for our health or best for our taste buds at the moment. Either case, we trust that God will bless it and His will be done even in this. We ignore what seems to have happened and we confess and wait on what God promises. And we hang our hats there on the promise that the Lord who has given us His only Son will also give us all things. And that all things work together for good for those who love God. Even presidential elections, red traffic lights, and taxes. So we will pray and we will wait on the Lord. We will wait for Him to show Himself. We will wait and know that He is good and He hears and loves us and answers all of our prayers. He answers them now with what is best for us and for our neighbors. Whether it seems as though we get all that we asked or not. The Lord has redeemed you. He's purchased and made you His very own. So He does not turn away your prayer, but He hears and He answers. So my friends, call upon Him, for He loves you and He is a merciful God. He has heard your prayer for forgiveness. And so He comes to you today in answer to your prayers in His very own body and blood, just as He promised at His Last Supper. And through His cross and in the promise that He has made to us, also in that upper room, He invites us to pray, to be bold in our prayers, unashamed, confident, that whatever is prayed through Jesus' name, it will be heard and done and given for His sake. For you are His beloved, in Jesus' name. Amen.